The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, and welcome to The Morning Drive, WTBR 89.7 FM, WSDR 88.1 in Lee. Welcome to Tuesday, January 27th. And I apologize for having some difficulties here with the Morning Drive jingle. So we're going to have to do without this morning. But I'm sure you know it, so you could always sing along on your own if you want to, which I'm not going to do for you. But anyway, we know what it is, and I just can't get it up and running this morning. Sorry about that. So anyway, it is Tuesday, January 27th. I am Brian Burkle. I am your host today. And as always, we are live and local this morning at WTBR Studio on Federico Drive. Today, we have two very important guests here with us from the RFK Community Alliance and RFK Legacy Mentoring. We have Talia Mignani, who is a lead survivor mentor, and Liz Marley, who is a case manager for the Legacy Program. So we're going to try with the weather. Let's see how we do that. Hold on one second, folks. Okay. Same thing. Well, it snowed. I think I got this one. It snowed a lot, and it's going to be cold a lot. So, I'm going off of what I've been watching. I've been watching closely all week. Obviously, it's going to be down to the zeros during the evenings all week long. But no snow, at least nothing major in the forecast as far as I could see. So, good morning, everybody. Again, we have Talia Mignani and Liz Marley here in studio. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
So I'd walked you through how this was going to play out, and it's not working out that way. So, but that's fine.
We're used to stuff like that.
It's
okay.
Yeah.
So what we're going to talk about today is a very serious topic, of course. It involves something that's called CSEC, which is the commercial sexual exploitation of children. And then human trafficking, which a lot of times one and the same. So what we want to bring in Talia to talk about is this RFK Legacy Program, which focuses on helping victims of CSEC and human trafficking. So Talia, hello.
Hello.
Can you tell us a little bit of a background about RFK?
Yes.
And the program.
Of course. So besides the Legacy Program, RFK Community Alliance went into a partnerization with Dr. Perkins School way back before Liz and I's time. So RFK has a ton of programs besides Legacy. We have three schools. There's residential programs. We work with DYS called DDAP program, and they work with minors who are coming out of the jail system to help them not to reoffend. We have Yazelle, which is the Youth Adult Supported Living. And they work with teenagers who are just coming out of the DCF system with nowhere to go, as we know happens. So they provide apartments for the minors, and that comes with life coaches and how to teach them how to adult. And then we have the Legacy Program, which is us, which provides survivor mentors and case managers for minor victims of human trafficking, ages 11 to 24, boys and girls. And it doesn't have to be confirmed human trafficking. It's also could be a minor who might be heading down a little dangerous path that could use some guidance.
Right. And is this something that that you're seeing a lot of here in Berkshire County?
Yes, it definitely is. A lot of people like to say that doesn't happen here. When I first got here about 3 years ago, that was one of the things I heard quite a bit is, oh, you won't be too busy here. That really doesn't happen here. But I can confirm that Liz and I are almost on a wait at this point. And we could be on a wait right now, but we've decided to continue for a little bit, but it definitely happens here.
Yeah. And what kind of trends are you seeing here in Berkshire County?
Right now, I would say a lot of the trends we're seeing is internet-based. A lot of video games, a lot of online, a lot of sending nudes that get out of control. We also come and speak because we want people to know that human trafficking is not the movies. It's not your kid's not at the bus stop and a guy in a white van's driving by and snatching him up. Can that happen? Of course. I'm not saying that never does.
Right.
But it's happening in the parks, your neighbors, online, in schools, in churches. It's definitely everywhere.
Right. And that's just it. Like you mentioned, it's not like the movies. And of course, one of the more popular movies that people are familiar with is something called Cry Freedom. Is that fair to say that that's one that you might be referring to?
Yeah, and that is one. Enjoy your movies, but please remember they're movies. Liz and I are not wearing bulletproof vests and scaling down buildings in a helicopter. And it's not all kids overseas. It's your kids as well.
Right. And so that's the point we want to drive home is that, you know, when we hear about these things, especially when we refer to them from the perspective of the movies, it seems like more of an international thing, right? Mm-hmm. But what we want to really drive home today to our audience is that does it happen here in Berkshire County? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. And in large part because, like you said, very, very clearly, it's not always just something online, right? It's not really the white van, stranger danger situation so much, right? But then, unfortunately, it can happen with people who are very familiar to somebody, are responsible for somebody who may be putting them in these situations, which is very difficult. And that can happen in any community. But in addition, when we do talk about the influences of the internet, you know, when our kids are online, they are communicating with the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
So it does, in that regard, it does kind of reach back out to the global vulnerability. Right. Because when they're online, they're talking to the entire world. Mm-hmm. So it does make them vulnerable to certain predators that are out there. Yep. So Liz, let's talk a little bit about your role with this agency.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm the case manager with the RFK Legacy Program in Berkshire County. So what that looks like is like working alongside Talia. Mm-hmm. We always start with like after intakes and everything is like meeting youth where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're kind of like not ready to really join us. So you kind of like have to test the waters and see like what they might be interested in if they're wanting to join us for activities, because we do a bunch of meaningful activities for them and celebrations once they get to that point. But like getting more into my role is I always try to like advocate for them in different environments. So whether that's at their school, within their home, in the courtroom, at their job, if that's like relevant. Like always trying to make sure we show up for them and support them in any way I can.
Yeah. So like you said, some of those things that you talked about, that support, like you said, helping them out with school, maybe other appointments that they might have to tend to. So you just kind of help coordinate that for them and for their family or whoever their caregiver is.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to connect them with other resources as well. Making their village bigger, trying to connect them with other people to know that they're not alone in this and they can get the support they need.
Yeah. Because again, like you said, it is something that takes like a village, right? You mentioned the word village. So it does take a lot of different agencies to help when someone has been victimized in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And to the caregiver, probably that, or to the victim, it can seem pretty overwhelming.
Right.
To have
absolutely.
To navigate all of that. So that's where you come in.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Trying to always come off as like a comfortable person they don't need to be afraid of, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Mm-hmm.
So here in Pittsfield is where you're located for the most part, as far as the satellite office that you have here in Berkshire County. And, in full disclosure, obviously it's at the Berkshire County Kids Place.
Yes.
Where I also work sometimes.
Yes.
Right. So that's how we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's any conflict of interest or anything here, but in fact, the familiarity is what made me want to bring you guys on board here, because I think that the messaging that you have is something that at the Kids Place we face all the time. We're dealing with here in Berkshire County, and having RFK Legacy as part of the team for the Kids Place has been, speaking on behalf of the Kids Place, has been instrumental and such a godsend. I mean,
Thank you.
Be able to actually give that guidance and that support to the victims of trafficking.
And just a small shout out to Kids Place. They have been so kind to us since day one. They gave us an office. They welcome us. They bring us to the table. It's a wonderful place. We refer some of our own mentees up to the counselors and therapists upstairs, but they've been really great to us since the day we landed there.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about human trafficking and this acronym CSEC, which again is commercial sexual exploitation of children.
Mm-hmm.
what are some things that we can be looking for that might suggest that somebody may be victimized? What would be some signs that, you would say? Because again, you know, I think the inference there is that people are like, well, this doesn't happen around here, or it doesn't happen in my circles. But it's such a difficult thing when it happens to somebody that there's a lot of protective secrecy, right? And so it's going to be harder to detect it. So what are some of the clues that we might have that people can use to help identify that somebody who might be in trouble?
Yeah, I think this is actually one of the hardest questions we get asked, because you wouldn't look at any of our mentees and be like, oh, that kid was trafficked. Or you wouldn't look at me as a survivor mentor and be like, oh, she was definitely trafficked. Like, it's not, we're not seeing those trends where they used to be. If they have some gang involvement, there still could be branding, tattoos. But we don't see that much out here in the Berkshires. So we do have another legacy program out in Springfield, and they do have a little bit more of gang-related trafficking. But out here, when it's the internet or it's a family member or someone close to them, the kids just become withdrawn. We have a lot of kids who get in fights a lot because they don't know how to express their anger. They don't know who to tell their shame. It's, and again, being a small community, even caretakers sometimes, they will refuse help because they're embarrassed for everyone to know. So the kids just become withdrawn. They're very quiet. They could go from getting A's and B's in school to all of a sudden they're failing, or they're skipping months at a time. They could be spending a lot of time making sure they know where their phone is. I need access to my phone. I need to be able to have it. And something Liz and I do work on, and it seems to work well for us, the kids do not have their phones when we do sessions with them. We try and get them to disengage. And same for video games. If they're playing games with their doors locked, or they only want to have it shut, and if you come in, they're hitting pause or not saying anything. It's a lot of withdrawn things. They just become a shell of the kid they used to be.
And of course, we, you know, we recognize that could be signaling many different things.
That's, it's a hard question.
Yeah. So I guess the bottom line is, anytime you notice a change in somebody, particularly a youth, particularly a drastic change or emotional changes, that, you know, something you need to explore. But but keep in mind, it could be this scenario. It could be something like this that, is troubling them. They may be involved in something like this.
Yeah, because I want people to recognize, too, that human trafficking also, again, going back to the man pulling off kids from the streets, but human trafficking really is an exchange of just, you know, a kid sending a nude, and then in exchange for some video game money or whatever it might be, or a pair of shoes or nails. That is human trafficking. And I think sometimes people don't think that deep into it because they just are seeing the media, but that is human trafficking.
Right. And I think it's a, and I'll ask you to expound on this a little bit, but I think it's an important point that it's not always just a simple exchange of sexual behavior or explicit pictures for money.
Right.
There's a lot of other things. Liz, can you talk a little bit to that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like, besides money, I mean, sometimes they might even be exchanging photos for like resources. So that could be like food. If they're, like not, if they're unable to have food, like on a regular basis, it could be food. It could be other, you know, necessities that they might need. You know, it, could not just be money.
Shelter.
Yeah, shelter. Yeah. Oh, yeah, shelter for sure. Yeah.
So we got to, you know, it's not always that quid pro quo that we associate with from traditional exchanges for sexual favors. It could be something else. And so we can't always, it's not always, we shouldn't get in that mindset. Well, listen, they're not exchanging money, so it can't be that.
Exactly. Right. And sometimes, and again, we don't see this often here in Berkshires, but it can be an exchange for substances.
Right.
So drugs, alcohol, whatever they're using to try and get through.
Vapes.
Yeah.
So anything of value. And you even mentioned, Talia, you mentioned even like credits or whatever on video games. Right. I mean, for some youth, that's as good as cash.
Yeah, exactly. They want to get the new Fortnite skin, or they want some Roblox bucks, and they're like, okay, I'll just send this for, you know, a couple of those, and then it spirals out of control.
Yeah. So let's talk about how online somebody, particular youth, could get caught up into something like this. Can you give us an example of how any kid could get caught up? What might happen? What might be a scenario?
Sure. I mean, like, a scenario that I'm trying to recall. Yeah, like someone might end up with this if they don't have like the typical attention a child might have. So if they have like withdrawn parents and they want that feeling of maybe love or comfort or protection, they might go online or like find someone who will give that them that feeling of comfort and love, even though it's like they might not realize like the red flags surrounding that. So yeah, like if they don't have like a supportive family member, or if they just feel are feeling alone, they might put themselves in that situation. And therefore, like, that's how they end up being like trafficked online or in person, you know.
And it goes as quickly as, okay, let's say, let's just go back to the video game just for easy sake. And they decide, yep, I'm going to go ahead and send this video for some V-Bucks or whatever they're exchanging, or just the photo. And they get a response saying, send me another one, or I'm going to release your photo to the entire school. I'm going to send this to your mom. I'm going to send this to your church. I'm going to show everybody. And it happens within minutes. And then the kid can panic, wondering how in the heck I'm going to get this money. And let's just say they do get that $100. And then they send it. And then it's send me 300 more, or I'm sending this and this, or send me more photos. And it spirals on them real fast.
Yeah. And you know, I understand that in some cases. Well, so, you know, obviously that's extortion.
Right.
Or this term, the term we use is sextortion. Right. Because of the connotation of what's exactly being held over their head. Is that, you know, sometimes it is somebody who is actually a predator who has a propensity to collect images like that. And just in case it comes up when we talk about those images, you know, the classic term is child porn, right? Which is still a legal term. But I know in this world, we're trying hard to change some of that language.
Yeah, language matters.
Yes, language matters. And so we don't call it child porn. We call it...
C-SAM,
right? Which is, tell me what
child sexual abuse material.
Child sexual abuse material, right? Which is more appropriate in that it's you know, not so voluntary, right?
Right, exactly,
yep, exactly.
So, but what we know is that they can get caught up in that, and sometimes there are people who are collecting that C-SAM, and that is their drive, the predator. But sometimes it's money.
Yeah.
Strictly money. They have a picture of somebody, or maybe the kid thinks they have a picture of you, and they're extorted to, you know, give them gift cards or money. And a lot of times, unfortunately, those are even like international criminal organizations, very hard to prosecute. But, you know, that's a tough situation. And then the kid, of course, feels trapped and alone and afraid. And so they give them something else, and they give them something else, and it just spirals, right?
And all of a sudden, they're stealing from mom's purse or grandma's purse, or they're stealing from somebody at school because they're panicking, and then it becomes a whole ordeal. And just going back to what you said about the pictures, and sometimes it's not just about money, it's about the photos. You also have to kind of remember, let's just say a drug dealer, they can sell that drug once. That's it. Those photos or the actual minor, they can sell over and over and over and over. So it's very lucrative for them.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So when we talk about being online, right, I know, you know, through the Kids Place, we do a lot of outreach to the community.
Yeah.
We go into the schools, and we also offer a lot of presentations for parents, as do you as well, right? You've done a few things already on the community. And so... Little plug here, of course, to any adult out there who, whatever organization you're in, it could be your church, your social club, your school, please reach out to the Kids Place. You can talk to Talia or myself or Haley Reinholdt, who works at the Kids Place, and schedule a presentation.
Yes.
And just so you have some knowledge about what to be aware of, right? But so one of the things that we always talk about when we do that is we always stress, hey, listen, we're not here to say the internet is a terrible thing, because the internet really is pretty fantastic, right? And it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Right. So we're so ingrained in the, our lives are so entwined in this. It's not going anywhere. And think about all the great things and the games. We're not here to, you know, bash games in general or apps in general. But there are a few that parents really need to be aware of.
Yeah.
OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about OnlyFans?
Yeah.
So what it is?
OnlyFans, it seems, as soon as you hit 18, and if you have a fake ID, of course they can use that, but you can post nudes, you can post videos, you can post photos or videos of yourself doing sexual acts, And I think I don't remember her name, so I won't use it right now. But there was a girl who was on TikTok. Midnight, as soon as she turned 18, she made over $1 million on OnlyFans because men were just waiting for her to turn 18. Mm-hmm. And for her, it spiraled out of control. She didn't know how to control that. She just thought she was going to make some money on there. And it's kind of ruining her life, honestly, like in her mental welfare, because it spiraled real quick.
Yeah. So they're just the predator type. We're just waiting.
Just waiting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, the other thing, too, is we know there have been some kids younger, like you said, using fake IDs or found a way to manipulate the system or get around it. And, you know, they've been enticed to share a picture because they figure, hey, if somebody wants the picture, what's the harm? Right.
Exactly.
And hey, I'll make some money. Right. Mm-hmm. Which we know is really not as much money as you'd think.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like any other conglomerate. There's a lot taken off the top. Right.
Yeah.
So, but this is one of those things that can really spiral out of control for some kids. So just, you know, make sure you do some due diligence, parents, and understand what some of these sites are and what they're designed for, and understand that kids can get into them.
Yeah. And there's some apps now too, where they can hide those apps under your calculator. Mm. So if you're going through a phone, you're like, okay, everything looks good here. But those apps are actually hidden underneath the calculator app on their phones.
Mm. So, we talked a little bit about some, signs that somebody may be in trouble, right? Could we go over that a little bit more? I know one was, you mentioned something about cell phones, right? Mm-hmm. If they're afraid of their phone, or maybe if they have, all of a sudden they have another phone for some reason, mm-hmm. right? Could you kind of articulate on that a little bit more about why those are signs that somebody could be in trouble?
Let's just say Liz and I are working with somebody who's 13. They obviously don't have a job. Mm-hmm. They should be in school. Where are you getting three phones from? Mm-hmm. And where are you getting a full set of nails? Or where did you get some new Nikes? Or why do you have $100 on your video game? Like, just think about, where did they get these things? Like, that would be your first tip off is, you know, if one of our mentees came to us and was like, oh, look at this new Prada bag I got. Where'd you get Prada bag? You're in seventh grade. Mm. Right. So you just have to think about, like, where did you get those things? And to them, they're not seeing it as trafficking, of course. It takes many, many years. For someone to finally kind of accept they were a victim of human trafficking. And we don't press them to do that, but they're not thinking it in that terms. They're just thinking, hey, I just got a full set of nails and all I had to do is send this video. Mm-hmm. And then when we work with them and we tell them how dangerous that is and where those videos can go, they're kind of like, oh my God, like they panic a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that's just a small step of where did you get this stuff? And, you know, for the kids that are skipping school days, weeks, months at a time, but you're seeing them leaving the home, where are you going all day? Where have you been? Mm-hmm. Or if you're having dinner and the phone rings and the kid runs off, does that mean every time they're victims of human trafficking? No. We know these kids love their phones. They're on social media all the time. So please don't think that I'm telling you if they're just walking away with their phone, they're victims. Mm-hmm. But if they seem like, you know, if you tell them you can't answer that right now and there's a complete panic and there's a, you know, they're fearful, like, I have to reply. I need my phone. I need to get on my phone. I need that. Well, who are you? Mm-hmm. Who are you talking to? Or another kid that might be 13, 14, 15, and they're like, oh, I have a new boyfriend or girlfriend. And you talk about that a little more and they're 19, 20, 21. Mm-hmm. What does a 21-year-old have in common with you as a sixth, seventh, eighth grader, even high schooler, that they want to be with you? What's going on here?
Right. Yeah, so those are all things that we can be watching for. And again, that has to do with just watching for changes in behavior, right? Mm-hmm. And things that maybe just on the surface seem a little unusual, right? So you need to dig a little deeper and figure out what's going on. Could be multiple things.
Exactly.
But it could be this.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I will say, as a survivor myself, when I was in elementary, middle, high school, I never caused any problems. I showed up every day. Mm-hmm. I never got detention. I never was talked to by a principal. I never said anything on the weekends because I was so fearful of my trafficker. I just, I did what I was supposed to, but nobody would have ever known then if they didn't look deeper into it. I was very, very tired in school and did fall asleep a lot, but other than that, and a lot of kids do, they stay up late. So that wasn't a real cause of concern, but sometimes you just don't know, which is why it's important that you do talk to the kids that you live with or that you foster or whatever the situation might be, but just being that safe adult for them and being open to conversations.
So if you do run into a situation where you do suspect that maybe somebody is a victim of CSEC or human trafficking, mm-hmm. what can you do? How can you report it? What's your recommendation on that?
Okay. So I will say I'll speak just for Berkshire County on this one, but there's hotlines you can call, a national hotline. Mm-hmm. But I will say for smaller counties like we are, we're pretty big in landmass, but obviously we're a little smaller. The best advice I can give is to call local law enforcement. You can even reach out to DCF and they can probably guide you. You are always welcome to reach out to Liz and I through email or phone calls and figure out what it is. But on a larger scale, there are hotlines you can call, and NCMEC will help you out. There's places you can call that will refer. It just seems to be a little bit of a hurdle for us here that those national numbers don't know who to refer to in Berkshire County because they just don't know what we have. So my advice is always to call local law enforcement and file a report, and we'd much rather you do that all day every day than say nothing.
Yeah, so see something, say something kind of situation,
yeah.
right? Okay.
We'd rather you be wrong and be like, oh, it's not this, but mm-hmm. we're happy to refer them for some counseling if, you know, there's other reasons for the behaviors. But it's better to call.
Right. And then, so on that referral aspect, Liz, can you speak a little bit to if you do take on a case, what kind of referral could you give for that youth?
Oh, like where I would refer them out to?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, like when we receive referrals, I kind of like go into like what the situation might be, mm-hmm. you know, kind of address it there and see like what other support they might need. So sometimes like I'll refer them to like other community-based programs. I'm forgetting the place in Great Barrington, but it's the Family Resource Center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that will be like another place if they live out in Great Barrington. Like just to connect them with people is like so important mm-hmm. to show that it's not just us supporting them. There's also like the FRC or, you know, yeah, stuff like that. Like making sure going from there, and then alongside like our support, we'll connect them with others, and therefore that's how they can mm-hmm. how we can support them.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Great Barrington,
yes.
right? Your connection down there. North County, I understand that you also have a new facility for RFK up there, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we just got in there about a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's on 85 Main Street in North Adams, and it's great. We did just open it a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, still moving in and getting things together, but excited to have the new space.
And that gives you geographically a spot to be able to communicate or connect with some of the kids that are North County, right?
Yes.
So there's and all that. I mean, we know Berkshire County's small, but
hour drive and then an hour back, and because RFK does provide transportation and uh-huh. everything's free, so we do go where they are. So sometimes bouncing from Egremont to North Adams and then back to Pittsfield, it was a doozy.
We travel a lot.
Yes. And Talia, you're getting, I mean, for people who don't know, Talia's from Florida. You've been here a few years now.
I have.
Let alone this weather.
This is my first real storm.
Yeah, because it was kind of quiet last year.
It was. Yeah.
But you're getting a good lesson in Berkshire County,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you are. You're going to all the nooks and crannies. You're going from north to south, east to west.
Yeah, we have some kids that the internet just does not work on our phones.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
you just really have to remember. Like, that's when I feel like my age comes through, because I'm like, I can read a map. But like the kids are like, what's a map? But the internet, our phones go out. There's no service. You mm-hmm. just got to know there's no street lights. There's nothing. Yeah. So for me in the beginning, I was like, oh my God. I'm used to it now, but we're definitely all over the place.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we are coming up on the top of the hour. So we are going to take a quick pause for station ID. We're going to thank our underwriters, and then we'll return. You're listening to WTBR 89.7, WSBR 88.1 in Lee.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Oh, yes! 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
What is One Berkshire? We're the voice of the business community, promoting the region and supporting local business. How do we do it? Through marketing, networking, sponsorships, and advocacy. Whether it's promotion to travelers and second homeowners, or opportunities to network with your neighbors and raise your profile, we've got you covered. So join today. Visit oneberkshire.com. That's the number one, berkshire.com.
The preceding public service announcement courtesy of WTBR and Lee Bank.
Join Peter and Jessica to relive the magic of Beatlemania every Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. For 5 decades, the Fab Four, where together or on their own, has changed the world of music. Tune in to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 FM, Tuesdays, 4 to 6 p.m.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we got our extra music and stuff back up. That little beep, I used to start talking before the beep. I've learned I got to wait till the car horn. Yeah. All right. So we are talking today with Talia Mignani and Liz Marley. They are with RFK Legacy, which is a mentoring organization for youth who have been exposed to human trafficking of some degree, and so very very serious topic. But we're going to return to having a conversation with them on that. We're going to pick up our conversation in a moment. We are going to check in with the Berkshire weather, and then we'll be back to this discussion.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. A chance of snow showers this afternoon. Cold with highs around 16. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of snow 30%. Wind chill values as low as 17 below this morning. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Cold with lows around 2 above. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 12 below. Wednesday, partly sunny. Cold with highs around 17. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 9 below in the morning. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, sounds like winter. And just before the break, we were just talking about Talia and her being a transplant here from Florida.
Yeah.
And getting used to all this. So, welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the Berkshires. I mean, I know you've been here a few years now, but...
But still, the first big winter for me.
Yeah, yeah. So, going to be cold, long stretch of cold. That's the thing this week. So, make sure you're careful outside. Make sure that your pets are safe outside.
Yes, good point.
Yep, keep your chickens out of the wind. things like that. Okay, so... Anyway, so we have Talia Mignani and Liz Marley, and they are here with the RFK Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Talia, tell us a little bit again about RFK.
So for Legacy, what we do is we work with minor victims who have been affected in some way, like you said, by human trafficking. So it does not have to be confirmed. It could be maybe they're heading down a dangerous path. Maybe they're running away a few times. But we work with boys and girls ages 11 to 24. Everything is free, and we do provide transportation, education, prevention. And you can also go on the RFK website, the Community Alliance, and it will tell you all about our schools, our programs for adults with disabilities, our adoption program, our equine therapy. There's a bunch on there.
Mm-hmm. A lot of programming that you offer.
Yeah.
And so, Liz, as Talia was saying, that it's not just kids who have been victimized, but maybe some that are at risk.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So, yeah, it might not be. Yeah. It might not be individuals who have been victimized already. It might be people, individuals who are at risk. So that could be, again, kind of like what we were talking a little bit about earlier, which is like showing off with withdrawn behaviors or not practicing online safety, like not staying safe on the internet, whether that might be interacting with strangers on the internet, you know, and they're not yet have been victimized. But mm-hmm. if they're already like speaking with individuals on the internet, that could be a sign that they might need, you know, an internet safety class with you and Haley at mm-hmm. Kids Place, or, you know, just an idea of like how to stay safe on the internet, or how to like interact with strangers and what might a red flag look like, or what boundaries like should be put into place, you know, when interacting with other individuals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you say RFK, you know, we're talking about Robert F. Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
right? Senior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just to be
Thank
clear.
Thank you.
Yes.
And it is based off of, I mean, it's built out of the Kennedy legacy.
Yes.
For so many reasons. And this is just one of those many things that have come out of that.
Yes.
Yep. And so the mentoring program that you do, that you do have there, and again, it's some of these youth have had experiences mm-hmm. with trafficking, and some are just at risk mm-hmm. because of their behaviors, right? So people are concerned
yes.
that they're at high risk for being victimized. And it's a mentoring program that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about what that means from your end?
I am proud of RFK because our mentors are live survivors. So myself and our sister program over in Springfield, they are as well, which means that we come to the table with our own stories of human trafficking. So the kids, we don't trauma dump on each other. So I'm not sitting there telling them what happened to me, and I'm not asking them what happened to them last Tuesday at 5 p.m. We don't do that. But when they find out that I am someone who went through something similar as they did when I was a youth, they kind of take a deep breath and they trust a little more. And they, we've had some parents who have reached out to us to say, my kid didn't trust anybody. You are the first, you and Liz are the first people that they would even get in a car with. Mm-hmm. But I am very proud of the fact that RFK does provide lived mentors. So we, you know, we're all our stories are different. No two stories are like, just like everybody on the planet. We're all different, but they kind of feel a sense of, we're not going to judge them. We're not going to punish them. Our program is trauma informed, not punitive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on goals and therapy and healing. And we know that that takes time. So there's also no end date. You don't have to leave after 6 months and 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we just try and provide a wraparound care, and you know where they fell through in those holes, how can we get them to a healthier spot, back to school or into a safe home, whatever it might be. But you know, we do a lot of fun activities with them too, and what they don't realize is a lot of those activities we're sneaking in some goals and some lessons on them, and they don't even realize that. But by also when we do those larger activities and they meet each other, they're seeing it wasn't just me. I don't have to be this embarrassed. This wasn't my fault. And they are very kind to each other. We're very, very blessed. Our kids get along and they're very kind to each other.
Yeah. And so to clarify, you are not a counseling
Correct.
Service, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not there to help with the, you're not there to prosecute the cases. You
know, nope.
The DA's office is doing that. You've got other services that are doing the counseling,
mm-hmm.
Kids Place, Breen Center, wherever it might be, right?
Yep. Exactly.
Sometimes these families have something else set up
already.
Personally,
mm-hmm.
You are just simply there as someone to just kind of make life a little bit more normal.
Yes.
Right? And be that person to, you know, like you said, you don't have to have those conversations
nope.
about the details. It's just a knowing.
Yeah.
A knowing that you get it, and it just makes them feel trusted. They trust you.
They do.
That's what it comes down to.
And
right?
some of these kids that have already gone through the process with police officers or with attorneys, and they've already told their story 6, 7, 8 mm-hmm. times, and people have already asked these questions. They don't want to come hang out with us, and we're mm-hmm. asking more and more and more. Like, we don't ask those questions at all. And obviously, we do recognize that 99% of them, therapist is going to be beneficial. So we do refer to Kids Place, like you said, or Brain Center for that part. And though we might provide transportation, I do have a mentee that will only go to his therapist if I take him. Mm-hmm. But we don't go inside with them. We just stay outside on our phones. And when they come out, we're not like, what did you say? How did that go? And we also make it very clear to the parents, unless the mentee is in danger to himself or herself or others, we don't even discuss with caregivers, parents, DCF workers, like, oh, we went to the park and this is what we said. There's no reason to do that. But then the kids also build trust that, you know, we're not just telling their story to everybody, and they get a little more comfortable and they stay and participate in the program.
And as far as that goes, you said that with this program, there's sometimes you get them together, right? So that, again, not only do they see in you and your experiences some sort of familiarization, but they see that there are other kids their age, other youth their age. So, Liz, talk a little bit about some of the things that maybe you do where you get the kids together. I know you have some outings and stuff, right?
Yes, yeah. So we had a few outings over the summer. The first one that comes to mind is we had a Six Flags trip. it was an interesting time, but no, it was good. We had a Six Flags trip. We went to Jiminy Peak for their like mountain coaster and for the, what is it, 13 nights? Is that what they call it there? Yeah. So we had that during Halloween time. We went on a Christmas train ride during like the holiday season. We took a couple youth to that. But yeah, always just trying to have the youth interact with one another and make connections in that sense. So, yeah.
And we do make sure it is appropriate. Not all kids are ready to do those activities right off the bat. So if we get an intake today, for an example, they're probably not going to join us for a little bit. It's just, it's a little too much on them. And sometimes, unfortunately, they are elopers. So we want to make sure we're also safe and not bringing them somewhere that they're going to take off. So I did just want to preface that out there. We do make sure that it's appropriate for that mentee to come on trips with us.
Yeah, for sure. And then so insofar as somebody getting into your program, especially when we're talking about someone who's just maybe has been identified as being at risk, right? So maybe somebody in the school or some other agency or the family, you recognize that they're concerned about their behavior. How can someone become how can they refer somebody to this program?
I will give this one to Liz because God bless her. She is the paperwork referral queen. I tend to take a little bit longer with that, and she is wonderful at referrals. So I'll definitely pass that off to her and say thank you for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So most of our referrals do come from the DA's office or the Kids Place office, or it can be referrals can be made by anyone. It can be a self referral. It can be a friend. We've had youth refer friends over. It can be any adult who or anyone who's concerned about the youth can be refer them. So like once we get those referrals, we kind of like look into it and see, like, I'll put it into our like document it. And then we'll go from there, like see like what the youth might need, like if they need like internet safety or if they need like mentoring from Talia or if they need more like case management type like services. We kind of like go from there and like plan out what to do next. So, yeah.
Okay. And then as far as the whole RFK, everything that you're doing with RFK, are there ways that people, even if they, if aside from referring somebody because they're concerned, are there other things that people can do to help this mission? And what would that be?
Again, Berkshire County is so amazing in that so many people do want to help. Unfortunately, because some of our kids are still in an open case or because of their trauma or maybe where they're staying or some previous people might even still be looking for them. For their own safety, we really don't do volunteers. They would have to go through a background check. But we did have an intern over the summer. She was lovely. She went through the background check and helped us out. Liz actually started as an intern for us and moved her way right up into case management. But the thing is, what we can really use, and I want some people to remember, too, that the kids that have been trafficked in person and some even online, some of them have never been able to make their own choices. So, you know, when speaking of the train, we were talking about shoes for Christmas, and one of the girls was like, I don't know what size shoe I wear. So we had to look at which shoe size she wears. What are your favorite movies? I don't know. What do you like to eat? I don't know. Because someone has made their choice for them for so long, they don't know. So some of the things we do ask for help are some gift cards so that Liz and I can take them places and let them decide for themselves. Mm. And it's very sweet because a lot of time they'll try and use the card for other things. Mm. Like, oh, I'm going to buy my friend some diapers for her kid or something for my mom or my dad. It's very sweet. But we want to give them the opportunity to be able to choose for themselves. So we do ask for gift cards. Jackets are always a plus. It's definitely cold. Some heaters. We had a few families run out of heat a little bit. So stuff like that. And the only thing we ask is, like, we're very grateful. Our 14-year-old doesn't want to wear a shirt with your stains on it that says Bruce Springsteen tour 1985. So if you are going to donate clothes and jackets, we are grateful. But obviously, let's have respect for the kids, too, and realize they don't want, like, your super old things with holes and stuff.
And that is something also that you have, too, right? You have some supply of clothes for the kids to go through occasionally if they're interested in getting a little bit more to their wardrobe or something, right? You have that available.
Yeah, we're very blessed with people who have given donations. So we, in the new center in North County, we'll set up a little space that's going to be kind of like a little store for them, a little boutique. And so they're not digging out of old grocery bags or whatever. We'll take care of that part, make sure everything's clean, ready to go. But they can they can look through stuff as like it's a little boutique.
And are you still looking for some extra help? Are you looking for another mentor?
Yes, we are currently. It's been 2 years, but they're out there somewhere. But we are hiring for a survivor mentor for Berkshire County. Everything is listed about the position on our RFK website.
Okay. And then when you say that, I mean, the first thing that is required for somebody to even apply is that they have to have some experience.
For the mentor position,
some
yes.
lived experience.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And a lot of that goes to that trust aspect, right? So, you know, in your role, you are a trusted adult for these kids, for these youth. What is something that we can tell the general public about being a trusted adult for youth and being there, if making yourself available and willing to receive this information?
Yeah, one thing I like that you do, Brian, in your education and when you go to schools and stuff is ask the kids if they have a trusted adult, because it's not something a lot of them think about. So when you do ask, there's a lot of kids that are like, I have no idea. And they do, most of them do have one, they just never thought about it. But I think being a trusted adult, and even as Liz is not a survivor, the kids do trust her because she works very hard and she shows up. No matter what their behaviors are that day, there's a reason. But she still shows up time after time. And I think that's something that's important is you show up. But you also need to leave an open space that you are not going to shame the kid if they do come to you and they're like, I did send a nude. What do I do? Mm-hmm. They're already embarrassed. They're already so full of shame. They think they're the only person this ever happened to. So even if your mind is spiraling in your head and you're like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do now or whatever, keep those thoughts inside for a minute and just be that open, non-judgmental adult for them. And then walk them through the steps, whatever that might be after, whether it's filing a report or going to school, whatever you have to do after. But it's being a safe person that they can come to knowing that you are not going to make them feel guilty and ashamed for coming to you in the first place.
And, you know, it's not always the parents.
Right.
And sad
to say.
Could
be anybody.
Yeah. But sad to say, you know, in some situations, sometimes the parents are not even the safe person to
Correct.
Talk to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But even in general, even if you have a really good relationship with your kids, sometimes
you don't want to tell your mom or your dad. Yeah.
It might be that one thing that you just don't feel comfortable with. So one thing that we stress with parents is that, you know, to ask their kid, you know, if their youth, if you were in a situation, who would you go to? And if they tell you somebody else, I say, don't take offense to that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
In fact, here's an opportunity for you to still have some agency in that, right? Talk to that other adult, right, and say, hey, listen, my kid has identified you as a safe person. If they came to you, what would you do? And then how much could you share with me and that type of thing? So you still kind of stay in the loop, right?
Right.
But at least it gives your child another option to get that conversation going.
Yeah.
And of course, it'll come back around to you.
Right. And again, don't take it to heart every time or take offense because it may be they actually do respect you too much and they don't want to hurt your feelings or make you sad or make you upset. So if they did choose another adult, don't let it ruin them still talking to that other adult. Leave that space open for them.
And in situations where a youth has, in fact, sent a photograph, a nude photo.
Mm-hmm.
There is one option, right? It's not necessarily a magic wand. It can't
right.
do everything. But there is something out there. It's called Take It Down.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe that a little bit more for people?
Explain yeah. that. So if you are, and I do want to preface this, you do have to be in possession of that photo or photo or video of, for them to help you.
The original file.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So, but it's called Take It Down, and they will walk you through it, and it's very easy. I did actually go through it with one of our older adults, older youth, rather. She is 18. I guess she's an adult, but she's still a kid to me. I did go through it with her, and it was very easy. It's step by step. And she did, and we did discuss and talk about, you know, if it's out on the internet, that's hopefully one day Take It Down will be able to help you with that. But for now, for her own peace of mind, she was able to put in the photos that she had. It did not require her to do that with a caregiver. She was able to do that on her own, even though she was 18, it did not make her express that she was already an adult. And it's a very easy process, like I said. And if you had questions, Liz and I would be happy to go through and walk through that with caregivers or with any of the mentees. But it is called Take It Down.
Mm-hmm. And if you do go to the Take It Down, make sure you're going to the legit one.
Yeah.
Because, somebody
yeah.
could be come up
with a fake
one. I think
that's anything on the internet right now, though.
Right, and all they're really doing is collecting that picture.
Yeah, exactly. So, it is ran by Facebook, so sometimes you might see a little small logo or whatever, and that's how you can also tell it's legit. It is a Facebook program.
Okay. And what it does, just to be clear, is that it doesn't remove it from other people's devices.
Right.
So if it's been sent out and it's on someone else's phone, it's on their phone.
Exactly.
You can't remove it from a device, but you can stop it from trafficking across the internet.
Right.
So anytime somebody tries to send that picture, that same exact file, if Take It Down has that identifying information, it will prevent it from reaching the next device.
Right.
So at least it stops it moving around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the best you can do is maybe ask people if you know it's on somebody's device, ask them to delete it, right?
Yeah. And my best advice following up on that too is once you do go through that, and if you're making a report to law enforcement, whatever, maybe perhaps they take your phone for evidence, et cetera, et cetera. We don't have to get too deep into that. When you get your phone back, and they already have the evidence and the phone is yours again, it's very important to delete those images. Do not leave those images on your phone, or if someone has sent you some images that you've already maybe turned in or you just don't want, it's very important to take those off your phone, no matter if you're 13 or 22.
After
made a report and yeah. after they've maybe taken your phone for a little bit and you yeah. get it back. And it's very important to sit with your trusted adult or mm-hmm. your mentor or your case manager, but take mm-hmm. those off your phone.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too. If there's an opportunity here for some type of prosecution or investigation, mm-hmm. then, yeah, you do actually want to keep the pictures
Correct.
And the videos at least till the police can process it.
Right, exactly.
Okay, yep. So... we talked a little bit about some trends that you said you've been seeing. And before we started today, you also mentioned that you've seen a trend in boys
mm-hmm.
becoming needing your mentoring services.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that and what you're seeing?
Sure.
Because I think that most people immediately think girls.
And right? every presentation we go to, every education the language is always these girls or our girls or those girls. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, but we have boys, too. Like, they're out there. It's just they're actually a little more embarrassed. They're a little tougher to talk to. They're a little more shy and they don't want to come and speak about these things. But I've been doing this for longer than I care to admit and show my age. But for the first time ever in doing this, we are almost at capacity of 50% girls, 50% boys. And we do have referrals for three more boys. So they are starting to come forward. The word is getting out that we make them feel comfortable. We are not trying to shame them either. Two of the boys are actually referrals from other boys that we have been working with who have said, can you please help my friend as well? So they are there. And we wanted to be very conscious in our new space in North Adams that it's very gender neutral. So the boys aren't going to come in and there's a basket of tampons or there's like rainbow confetti shooting out, because then they don't want to participate. They don't want to sit at a table. They'll sit at the table with us if they feel welcome. And I will say the work does take a little bit longer. It takes us a while to get there. And again, we don't pressure them about their trafficking or ask them what happened. But once they gain that trust, They come, they hang out, they'll join the groups, but it's about making them feel included. And we're not saying like boys over here, girls over here, but the boys are definitely coming out. And I would say 90% of the boys were working out, it was internet trafficking. So it was something that started with a video game or a nude and spiraled out of control.
Yeah, and I think having that sort of general neutral environment mm-hmm. is really valuable, because I've seen some conversations, some presentations by men, adult men, mm-hmm. who, when they were youth, were exploited.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've said that when you look at the billboards or you look at the websites for the child advocacy centers, it was all little girls.
Always, yeah.
And they were just like, well, I guess that's not for me.
Yeah.
So so it's great that's being recognized and that it's being more welcoming for, or more comfortable.
Yeah,
for them
we're
to
trying.
Be able to come.
We're trying.
I know. Well, the whole thing is a tough
yeah.
subject. No
and they always out. Have the thing about, not all of them, but a great deal of the boys that we work with said they never told anyone or went any further with it because they're just such a stigma, be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that's why we just try and make sure our spaces are gender neutral. You can be whoever you want when you come to our office. It doesn't, you don't have to be a man. You can be a 13-year-old boy with some trauma, and we're going to help you. You mm-hmm. don't have to be anything but who you are to come in.
And for adults and parents out there, what are some resources that are available that people you could direct people to, where they can learn a little bit more about trafficking and CSAC and CSAM and all these other things we've talked about today and internet safety? What are some things you might recommend?
Sure. I mean, Kids Place does an amazing job within the schools teaching youth about internet safety practices within their presentations. So shout out to you guys. We also do internet safety classes like of our own, like, you know, like. Just, you know, like one-on-one, you know, mm-hmm. talking to youth and like what not to do on the internet. There's also like the NetSmarts. I believe you use that resource. There's that website, which is great. I'm trying to think, is there any other we want to
mention? Polaris
yeah.
is one I go to a lot. They update quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
NCMEC is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. We actually do get referrals from them as well. So they're also a great resource of information. And then again, you can just reach out to people like Liz and I, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to be like, hey, I have 20 referrals. It's, I have a question. Can you help? Sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
of
absolutely.
Course.
And that NetSmarts, like I said, mm-hmm. or as you pointed out, mm-hmm. Liz, is that, there's a lot of materials on there on mm-hmm. that website, and it's all free.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's some interactive things that you can even do with your kids.
Right.
Right? There's some videos
it's very kid friendly,
for
yeah.
different age mm-hmm. brackets and stuff like that, talking about internet safety. So a great resource for parents. Another one that I like is called Common Sense, mm-hmm. Common Sense Media, where you can go. I started it years ago when my girls were a little bit younger. We'd sit down to watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, oh, you know, what am I getting myself into? What am I going to be embarrassed by something that happens
yeah.
on screen? So you could go to Common Sense Media and plug in the movie, and it would give you all the total spoilers. But it would tell you in great detail what to expect, right?
Yeah.
You know, the language is going to be used, if there's violence, if there's sex or anything like that.
Wow.
It's all going to be listed in there. So where I would recommend in this context is that it also provides for the same thing when you want to look up how a video game works, right?
Oh,
so if you ask your kid
yeah.
what happens, and they're just like, you know, they don't really tell you much. They might be, why aren't they sharing what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to this and you can type in a game, and it'll tell you everything you need to know about that game. So it's just a good resource for parents.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep. So we've got about 1 minute left.
Okay.
what would you like to put out there as a final bit of information?
I just want to say, like, we didn't come here to scare anybody. We
right.
didn't come here to, you know, cause panic.
Mm-hmm.
All of your kids are not being trafficked. But we do want to just make sure everyone has the education and mm-hmm. how, like, I think our biggest goal in human trafficking is preventing it and stopping it. We deal with the what's after. So we'd love for parents and caregivers to join in what's before. And if we have time quickly, the Attorney General's office is hosting a internet safety class on Zoom. Anyone can join. So if they reach out to Liz at RFK, we can send a link to them. But anybody's welcome to join, and they will cover the laws, safety, mm-hmm. what to look for, what to do, and it's all free of charge.
And that's coming up, right?
February 3rd.
Okay, great. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Being here from RFK Legacy, talking about a really important conversation. So everybody, thank you for joining us. Enjoy your day. From WTBR, we appreciate you joining us. See you soon.